Yud Gimel Tishrei, Tuesday the 7th of October, Rabbi Aaron Litwin, Sukkos.
Zman Simchasenu, a happy time. Sukkos is the happiest of the Yom Tovim throughout the Jewish year. It's also known as Chag HaKatzav. It's a time when we reap in all the produce, a time of financial abundance, a time of good parnasa. And the Rambam tells us that even though all the Yom Tovim are a time for Simcha, Sukkos is extra special. Sukkos is even more of a happy time. And the truth is, on a practical level, I think we can all relate to this. There's no Pesach cleaning, you still get to eat challah. I think Sukkos by far is my happiest Yom Tov. The problem is, there's one thing that throws a spanner in the works. There's one thing that makes no sense. On Sukkos, we read Koheles. Koheles is by far the most depressing part of Tanakh. It tells us everything is hevel avolim, everything is sad, everything is empty. It just doesn't add up. Why on the happiest time of the year are we going and reading such a depressing Megillah? The Torah in Siman Tov Yud Zayin tells us a fascinating thing. He tells us that there are three regalim, and there are three others. Shalosh regalim, and the three others. He tells us that each one of the regalim correlates, are connected, one of these others. Pesach, Avram, Shavuos is Yitzchak, and Sukkos is Yaakov. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Olamikneu osa Sukkos. I think it's very nice that Yaakov built huts for his behemoths, but what's Yaakov got to do with Sukkos? What's the connection? It doesn't make any sense. And finally, one last question. Pesach, Zman Chiraseinu, we sit down to say the night. We make one Achilas Matzah. We make two Starim, so we make two Achilas Matzahs. We make the Bracha twice over the entire Pesach. Come Sukkos, every single day, every time we go to spend time in the Sukkah, Leishei Basukkah. We make a bracha every single time. Why is Sukkos different? Why on Pesach, the main mitzvah sayayim, we make the bracha once? And Sukkos, every single time throughout the 7 days, we make the bracha. So three questions, just to recap. The stira within the simcha of Koheles, the Torah, which says Sukkos is connected Yaakov, what Sukkos and Yaakov got to do with each other, and finally the bracha situation compared to Pesach. It tells us, the Torah tells us, you should love Hashem your God. And the pasuk continues and it tells us three ways how to do that. B'chol levavcha, or b'chol nafshecha, or b'chol ma'idecha. With your heart, with your life, your soul, and with all your possessions. And the Baal HaTorim here also gives us a deeper insight. He tells us that these three stages of b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, or b'chol ma'idecha also are connected the three others. They each had a unique way in the Avodas Hashem. Avraham was b'chol levavcha, leiv. I think we can all understand why Avraham is leiv. He has a pasuk. It says, "Umetzos es levavo inam amefanecha." Avraham is leiv. Nefesh, which is life, is easy. That's Yitzchak. I think we've all worked out the Akedah. And finally, Yaakov. Yaakov was b'chol ma'idecha. Yaakov was possessions. What's Yaakov got to do with materialistic values? So he brings a pasuk. It says that Yaakov instituted Maisa. I mean, what's Maisa? Percentage of money? I mean, splitting up, dividing. You know, it reminds me of the story with there was the rabbi, the priest, and the sheik. And they're discussing how they split up their charity money that comes into the shul. Well, I guess not the shul for the priest, but the temple or the church. And they all go like this. They all discuss how they do it. So the priest goes, what I do is I take all the money that came in that day and I draw a big circle on the floor. I throw all the money into the air. Whatever lands inside the circle is for God, and whatever lands outside of the circles, and that's my cut. The sheikh says, listen, you know what? I've got a different system. What I do is I take all the money that came in, I draw a big circle on the floor, I throw it all up. Whatever lands inside the circle is for me, and whatever lands outside the circle, that's for God. The rabbi said, listen, I've got the best way. What I do is I take all the money that came in, I draw a big circle, I throw it all up into the air. Whatever God wants, He keeps.
Very casual.
Yeah. But Lemaisa, what is Maisa? What are we doing here? What's going on? So to understand Maisa, we really need a deeper understanding of what Yaakov Avinu was. What's Yaakov Avinu? Not this one, but look at any Aron HaKodesh where they have a picture of Yaakov. Anywhere where we try to envision who Yaakov was, you'll see a picture of a ladder. Yaakov's dream, I think it's fair to say that Yaakov is well remembered, best remembered for his dream. Now, we all learned about this dream in school. Yeah, it was very exciting, there was the stones, they had a fight, they became one. But what was this dream, you know? The Mefarshim tell us that something deeper was actually taking place here. It wasn't just a nice child fairy tale. Something far deeper was actually taking place. Yaakov was sleeping on the ground. Yaakov was sleeping on Olam Hazeh, Gashmius. The ladder reached, connected Olam Hazeh all the way to the sky, to Olam Haba, to Ruchnius. A ladder is gematria, both Mamoin and Sinai, money and Sinai, which is Torah. The Sfarim HaKadoshim explain us that Yaakov's dream was resembling Yaakov's innate, unique power to be able to connect Gashmius to Ruchnius. That was Yaakov's power. And the truth is that right after this dream, literally a few psukim later, was when Yaakov came along and he said, "B'chol asher titen li, with all the money Hashem gives me, aser asrenu lach." And that's what Maaser is. Money is the sale of Gashmius. Ultimate Gashmius, I think it's fair to say, kesef yane es hakol. Money is what it's all about. And until Yaakov came along, money was just a physical thing. Yaakov said, what Yaakov was mechadish, he said, money within the physicality, I'm going to lift up, I'm going to elevate that physicality to a higher sense by giving away a tenth for Hashem. That's what Maisa is. And this was Yaakov's unique power. And if we think about it, there's many examples. Just to add one or two, Yaakov was famous for saying, "Im lovon garati." And we add, the Gemara explains, "Vatariad mitzvahs shamarati." What does that mean? "Im lovon garati, I lived with lovon, I lived with gashmias, but vatariad mitzvahs shamarati, within the gashmias, I was still able to have that element of ruchnias, I was able to uplift the gashmias." Also, there's a fascinating Gemara which discusses how the three Ovis envision the Beis HaMikdash. Avraham said he saw the Beis HaMikdash as a har, a mountain. Yitzchak said he saw it as a sodet, a field. And Yaakov saw it as a bayis. What's a bayis? A house. A house is where we do our most mundane actions. A house is where we live. A house, again, is gashmias. Yaakov was able to take gashmias and help that rise higher, to elevate that and lift it to a spiritual level. That's Yaakov. Christians think that holiness is separation. Holiness is cutting off from this world. Klal Yisrael have a very different mahalach. We know that this world, Hashem made us mortals. Hashem made us humans. He didn't make us malachi asharis. We know that our avodah is to take this world, just bringing it to a higher realm. Over Rosh Hashanah, I stayed by a family in Edgware. They squeezed four of their kids into one room that I should be able to stay by them. This is what a house is all about. A house is an opportunity. It's a vehicle for achnasas orchim. It's not a semel of gashmias. They tell the famous story of Reb Zusha, Reb Elimelech, and his daughter became a kala. And he sent his wife out to buy the most expensive, beautiful material to be able to make a kala dress as it should look. And she went and she found this beautiful material, and they took it to the seamstress, and they spent, you know, week after week going to the seamstress to be able to make this beautiful kala dress. And that's how it was. It came out to be a beautiful dress. And finally, the day you came, it was ready to be picked up. The dress was complete. The Rebbetzin comes to the seamstress, and she says, "You know, I'd like to pick up the color dress." And the seamstress starts crying. And you can see that these aren't just crocodile tears. There's something going on there. She's upset. So the Rebbetzin says to her, "Can I ask you, you know, why are you upset? What's bothering you?" So the seamstress says, "I'll tell you the truth. My daughter is also a color. My daughter's getting married next week. And I can't afford such a dress. I can't afford such a beautiful material. And it hurts me, it bothers me, that you have such a dress, and I, for my daughter, can't supply her with the same." The Rebbetzin said, "What?" She took the dress, she left it there, she said, "You're going to keep it, your daughter will wear this." And she came back home to her husband, Reb Elimelech. And she said to Reb Elimelech, "Are you happy with what I did? Is that okay?" He said, "For sure, it's amazing what you did. I even want to make sure to go and pay her for the labor that she did." Now, I don't think we're on Reb Elimelech's madriga to go and pay her for the labor. But what we can see from this story is that clothing, It doesn't have to be gashmias for gashmias. Clothing is an opportunity to do chesed. Just the other week, someone came over to me on the street that he wanted me to donate my clothes to the starving people, you know, in Africa. So I said, listen, if they're really starving, they ain't going to fit into my clothing. But this was Yaakov. Yaakov was able to take gashmias and elevate that to a higher level. And the truth is now, if we think about Sukkos, what is Sukkos? What is the Yom Tov of Sukkos? I think it's fair to say that there are three primary things that we do on Sukkos. Number one, we sit in a sukkah. Number two, we have Arba Minim. And number three, this was more relevant in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we have Nisach HaMayim. Simchas Beis HaSha'iva. What are these three things? What are we doing? What is a sukkah? A sukkah is when we take sticks and stones, we take chomer, we take matter, which is ultimate gashmias, and we elevate that, we bring that up, we uplift that to Tzilad in Himanusa, the shade of the Almighty. We bring gashmias to its optimum, to its ideal, to a higher level. That's what a sukkah is all about. Again, Arba Minim. What's a little bit of esrog? You have a palm leaf, a citrus fruit. No longer just a fruit. No longer just something that grows in the ground. Elevate it. We bring it to an item of Kedusha. That's what Sukkot is all about. And Nisach HaMayim, we know that the Hashem, when He created the world, He separated the waters. He made the higher waters and the lower waters. And the lower waters complained. He said, we also want to be high. Hashem said, don't worry. They'll do with you Nisach HaMayim. When it comes to the time of Sukkot, they'll elevate you. They'll bring you higher to where you're meant to be. And that's what Sukkot is all about. And now, we can understand how Sukkot and Yaakov are very much two sides of the same coin. Yaakov was all about bringing gashmias higher, and that's exactly what Sukkot is. Oskar Schindler was a Nazi. He was part of the Nazi party throughout the war. And he was famed for having saved many Yidden. Many Yidden, he had this list. And throughout the war, the Yidden on this list, he took as his children, and he would ensure that they would be saved. And it's known, I researched this to make sure the facts are true as well, he was known to have given many of his personal jewels and much of his personal money to bribe the Nazis to be able to save these Yidden. Because he was under pressure also to give them up. Comes 1945, the tables turn. Mr. Schindler, who was once the free man, has now become the victim. He was a member of the Nazi party, he was a wanted man. And Klal Yisrael, the Yidden who were in his factory, who until now, we were the captives, we had become free with liberation. The tables are turned. But the people that he saved didn't forsake him. The people that he'd saved wanted to help him as well, to be able to save himself, to escape the clutches of the people who were going to be trying to hunt down the Nazis. So what they did was, they told him that he's going to have to change clothes into the striped pajamas. So he starts taking off his jacket, and as he's taking off his jacket, he sees that on his lapel is a Nazi brooch, the SS brooch, and it's made of pure gold. And as he takes it off, he fingers it, and he says, this brooch is pure gold. If I would have sold this, if I would have used this to bribe the Nazis, I could have saved two more Jewish lives. Oskar Schindler's a goy, but he was able to recognize that gashmias isn't a means unto an end. Gashmias can be used to elevate it to a higher purpose. There's a beautiful goyim. The goyim tells us, but just before the goyim, we can now understand also why Sukkot, we make a bracha on every aspect of what we do. Because Pesach, the idea is to eat matzah. So we eat matzah. We eat our matzah and we have our mitzvah, yotzah. Come Sukkot. Sukkot is about elevating physicality. Sukkot is about taking gashmias and bringing it up to a higher level. On Sukkot, every aspect of our lives become Kaddish. Every aspect of our lives become holy. That's why throughout Sukkot, our eating, our sleeping, we make a bracha every day. We make a bracha throughout the Chag. We make a bracha throughout the Yom Tov, because every day, every aspect of what we're doing is we're bringing ourselves to a higher level. We're taking mundane acts, such as sleeping, eating, whatever it may be, sitting there, and we bring it to an optimum level. That's why we make a bracha throughout Sukkot. And now to the Goyim. The Goyim tells us a beautiful word. We say in Eish Yisrael, Sheker Achim V'Hevel Hayofi. Beauty is a lie, and Chayin is also Hevel, is also nothing. Asks the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, he says, what does that mean, that beauty and Chayin is a lie, is empty? We know that the world revolves around these things. And if you're going to tell me that it's still Hevel, we daven every day in Sim Shalom, we daven for Chayin. Also, the Torah makes big efforts to tell us that the Mois V'Yifas Torah, we find throughout Tanakh mentions of beauty in a positive sense. So ask the Goyim, how can we say Sheker Achim V'Hevel Hayofi? It makes no sense. Says the Gaon, a beautiful idea. What he says is as follows. He says, beauty and chayin unto themselves. If beauty and chayin are used as a means unto an end, without taking them, without bringing them to a higher level, they are sheker and they are chayin. However, if infused, if imbued with yiras shamayim, if this woman also possesses yiras shamayim, she also is spiritually safe, the chayin and the yoifi also are uplifted. They also become a maila. A woman who possesses both those milas together, she uplifts those milas, that those milas are also worthy unto themselves. And that's how he explains the pasuk. Sheker hachein, lehevel hayofi, isha yiras Hashem, he tishalal. He says, he tishalal is going back on the chein and the yofi. If this woman also possesses yiras shamayim, the chein and the yofi also now are imbued, they also become a higher thing. And now we can come and understand the stira between the Simcha of Sukkos, how it's meant to be Zman Simcha Seinu, the happiest time, when we read Koheles. Koheles isn't just telling us that this world is a depressing place. Koheles is telling us that in this time Sukkos, a time of financial security, a time of financial abundance, a time where we take Simcha in physicality, don't get lost. If you use physicality for a means unto an end, if you see physicality as the full stop, as the final destination, you'll get lost. That's not what physicality is all about. Physicality is heaven and one if you use it by itself. The message of Sukkos, the message of Yaakov Avinu, and the message of Koheles is that use the physicality as a force to be able to bring it up, to elevate the physicality, and then the physicality in itself is something special. Hashem made us mortals. Hashem put us in this world. Our void is to take this world and bring this world to a higher level. I'd just like to end with a story I saw a few days ago, a beautiful story. There was a man in Vilna who had a fascination with the kibbutzim there. Kibbutzim were the graves. He had a fascination with the kibbutzim. And he would spend many hours, going around the graveyards, the Beit HaKvaros, and looking at the old kibbutzim, trying to research them, trying to understand them. One day, he stumbled upon a set of two kibbutzim right next to each other. And it was clear that these kibbutzim weren't a husband and wife. It seemed to be that they were two brothers. So he thought it was interesting already. Two brothers could be buried next to each other, that's okay. He then sees, to continue the Eish Yisrael theme, he sees on the first keva, it says, Kapo Parsa Lioni. And on the second keva, it continues, and it says, V'yodeh Shulcha Lo'evyin. So he thinks, what's going on here? This is a pasuk from Eish Yisrael. You know, normally you'd see a pasuk from Eish Yisrael on a woman's keva, perhaps, not on a man's keva. But even if it is going to be on a man's keva, why half on one brother and half on the other brother? So he's intrigued by this, and he decides he needs to do some research. So he goes into the town, into the old town of Vilna, and he starts trying to find perhaps an older person from the community, someone who knew what happened pre-war, who could perhaps help him to understand, to try and work out what the mystery was. He finally finds an older person who says, I know the story, and I'll tell it to you. So he sits down with a fellow, they have a coffee, and the guy says to him, this is what happened. Many years back in Vilna, there were two brothers. And these two brothers were wealthy, wealthy people. And they used to use their money in the best of ways. They were good people. They used to do only chesed. They were machzik, all the moistest in town. And whenever a poor person came to their house, they didn't leave without a meal and also a nice check. They were genuinely good people. Torah, Abdullah, B'makom, Echad, everything was going well. until one day, the wheel of fortune changed. They lost their money. It was a tumultuous stop. How could it be? How could it be these were good people? They only used their money for good reasons. How could it be now that they suddenly lost all their money? It didn't make any sense. And the town were tumbling, it was a commotion. And in those days, they had the Besdin in Vilna, and they would sit down, and they would work out communal matters. So the Besdin sit down, and they have their dion, and they try and work out what could happen. After weeks of working on this topic, they realized that these two brothers, as good as they were, they used to give more than a chaymish, more than a fifth of their money to tzedakah. Which is, there's a theorem, but it's something that's not meant to be done. So they said, they decided, they gave up tzedakah, that the reason that they lost their fortune was because they were giving more than a chaymish. So, what the Besdin decided to do was, is that they appointed a man who's going to take care of these people's, these two brothers' finance, and this man will have the sole right to give out tzedakah. They didn't allow these people to give out their money, the brothers. That's how the Besdin worked in those days. And this man was the person who gave out all that tzedakah. And that way they would be able to manage that he gives out only less than a chaymish. Yeah, not more than a chaymish. So as time moves on, these brothers go back home, and poor people come knocking on the doors, and the brothers say, listen, we don't have access to our money, we can't help you. And the poor people are crying and they're begging. They say, we're really sorry, go to this fellow, he has our accounts. They come back to the brothers and they say, this fellow doesn't give us anything like he used to give us. We can't put bread on the table. We don't have any money. We need your help. The brothers were good people and their hearts melted. They didn't know what to do. They wanted to help their brothers. They wanted to help Klal Yisrael, but they didn't have any money. And then they realized that they had one thing. They had a huge silver cabinet, which was still full of all their silver. So the next time a poor person knocked on their door, the brothers went to the silver cabinet, they took out an item of silver, a becher, whatever it was, and they said, listen, we don't have any money, but we're happy to give you our silver. And they started giving out their silver collection. This went on for a few months, until one day, a poor person knocked on the door. Sad story, a broken home, and he begged them for money. And as usual, these people were touched, good brothers, they went to the silver cabinet. But when they went to the silver cabinet, all that was left on the floor of the cabinet was one silver spoon. They'd given away not just all their money, but they'd given away all the silver. They didn't have what to give them. They had one spoon. And the brothers began arguing. One brother said, I want to give it. And the other brother said, no, I want to give it. And a commotion came. And what they agreed was that they would break the spoon in half. And one brother gave the handle, and the other brother gave the spoon part of the spoon. And that's the pshat in what they wrote on the Kfarim. Kapo, kaf, is the spoon part of the spoon. Kapo parsa li'ani. This brother gave the spoon part li'ani to a poor person. The yodeha, which is the handle, the other brother, shel chala evyon, he gave that to a poor person. These two brothers exemplified how we're meant to view gashmius. What silver is, what gashmius is. Gashmius isn't a means unto its end. Gashmius is a means to elevate it and bring it to a higher level. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching.